really encouraging, really help you understand. And we're going to actually dig into a psalm in a little bit. It's Psalm 139. So if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 139, you can join me there. It'll be like in a little bit. But if you want to find that, you can go ahead and do that as we get into that. My name is Tim. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm also a drummer. That was fun. I don't get to do that often. That's like the first time in a long time. So much fun. I'm so grateful for our worship team, for Alan and Liz jumping in and leading worship for us. Isn't that cool that God brings people at the right time and in the right seasons, and we're grateful for our teams every week that do everything that we get to do here. I mean, that's a part of the Christian walk, is using your gifts to bless the body, and whether that's shaking a hand, serving behind scenes, or being on a stage, all of it is important. That's the good thing about God's work. All of it is important. And we're going to talk about today, as we're in this series, we called it Finding God's Will. So many people struggle in life because it's like, what is God's will? What's God's plan for my life? And we think of this like some big thing that's like, I don't know if I'll ever find it, or you think it's like some treasure out there, or you got to win the lottery to find God's will for your life, like all those kind of things. And we want to really narrow down to help us through the series, understand how you can actually know God's will, okay? And last week I gave you homework, and the homework was to memorize a verse and to pray. So how many of you memorized the verse? Show hands. Everybody memorize the verse? I see some of this, and I see all right, so keep memorizing the verse, okay? Because this verse, it's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church, right? And as he prays it, it's a prayer that we can pray for us, for our own life. And this was the prayer last week from Colossians 1. It says, "For these reasons, since the day we heard about you," Paul talking about the church, "we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will," right? That's my prayer for you and us during this series. Fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Who gives it?
Spirit.
Capital S, the Holy Spirit of God himself. Doesn't want to hide his will for you. It's not like, good luck, you know, like we're talking about that through this series. He wants you to know his will. And you can find his will. Now, we defined it a number of weeks ago. What is God's will? What does that even mean? We went back to the Greek, the word will. This is the other part. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." That's our desire. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ, right? And with that will, the word will, philema, is this Greek word. It means his pleasure or desire. It's God's pleasure and desire for your life. It's what he wants in your life, right? And this is a good definition, I think, of God's will. It's God's perfect plan and his heart's desire for things to be on earth as it is in heaven. That is God's will. There's stuff happening in heaven, and it's good. Like, all the good things are in heaven. God has all of that happening, and his desire is for us to experience on earth the parts that are in heaven. Now, are we going to experience it perfectly? No, because we can't. This is a broken world. But we can have glimpses of it. We can experience God's presence in this broken world. The more we walk in his ways, the more we walk in his will, we experience that. So he has a desire. It's in his heart. It's perfect. And he wants us to experience what is in heaven here on earth. That's God's will. And we've been talking through God's will and defining it in three parts. Okay? Everybody already know the three parts that you've been here now? I keep repeating it every week, all right? Repetition helps your memory. It helps you remember things, right? And so these are the three wills of God that we're talking about in this series. God's sovereign will, his moral will, and his personal will for us. And with that, what we talked about is this. While trusting God's sovereign will, that God has a plan, he's up to things. He was since the very beginning of creation all the way to the end in the book of Revelation when he returns and brings things back to what he designed and desired in the garden in the first place. That's what's going to happen in the end. No more sin, no more death, no more crying, no more, like everything back into perfect relationship with him and each other. That is eternity. Woo! Come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord. But we're grateful that he loves us and he loves people so much. He is waiting so that as many people as possible can accept and receive the gift of salvation, right? And so we're waiting on him, he's waiting on us, and he's going to show up in his time, in his sovereign will. He has plans that nobody can thwart. When God decides it, it's going to happen. That's just how it works with God, okay? So that's his sovereign will that he has. And then living inside his moral will, we've talked about his moral will, is the things he puts and teaches us through his word and through scripture on how to relate with each other and how to relate with him. That's his moral will, right? Here's the healthy guardrails that will protect you from going off a cliff in life. It'll protect you from the thorns and the hurts and the pains outside of God's moral will. He has them there for your protection so that you can experience his promise and blessing in relationships with each other and with him. That's the Ten Commandments, you know. That's where he started when he gave the Israelites the law. He's like, here's the top ten, and that's what they were about. Here's how you relate with me. Here's some key things on how to relate with each other, right? So as we're trusting his sovereign will, he's got a plan, and we're living in that moral will, you will find his personal will for your life. It's the foundation that gets built. And the more you walk on that journey, the more God reveals and shows his personal will, his design and his desire for you to be a part of bringing heaven to this earth. That is his will for you. We read a verse so that he's prepared good works in advance for us to do, right? The good works that he has prepared for each of us to do. We got some babies in the house. So that's where we're at in this series, okay? Last week, I started the, was it last week? I don't know. So they get jumbled up. So in my mind, I think it was last week. When I talk about fundamentals, was that last week? You guys don't remember either. See ya. All right, I'm out. I say you only remember like 10% of what I say, so it's okay. Just as long as it's the good stuff, all right? Just keep that good stuff. So I was talking about, like, for us to experience, you know, build this foundation of sovereign will and moral will and this personal will, like, we have to be rooted in the fundamentals, what it means to be a disciple, right? That we are studying God's word on our own. We're reading it. We're praying. We have a prayer life and relationship with God, that we're worshiping and thanksgiving, that we're gathering and connected to a church body, that we're living and serving out of our giftedness, that we're giving generously. Like, these are spiritual disciplines. And the more you live into those disciplines, the more you understand his personal will for your life. And so we want to be sure that as a church, we are training you to walk into those disciplines, right? That's what discipleship is. It's us helping you know how to walk into those disciplines so you can more and more experience God's promises and his blessings and his plan for you in your life, okay? So that's the foundation that we're building on. Now today, I want to get into Psalm 139. Now last week, I said to you guys that God was preparing me to preach a sermon, and that sermon is called Jesus, Satan, and God's Will, okay? Now, I need you to know, I'm not preaching that sermon today. I was not ready to preach that sermon today, okay? This week, it felt more of what I want to preach on next Sunday, okay? Normally, I have my sermons done on Tuesdays. And you're like, what? That's early. No, it's not. Like, if I wait till, like, Friday, I will not sleep all week long. Like, it'll be a bad week. And so my sermon wasn't done until Thursday. That's late for me. And I'm like, okay, God, I want to be sure I study and study and study so I can know what I'm going to preach. It's going to be deep and rich and good. Okay, so next Sunday, come back for that one. That'll be the wrap-up of this series. And when we talk about Jesus has a will, and we're going to talk about the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're going to talk about Satan has a will and a plan, and he's trying to work out his things here on earth, and then God's will, which is his sovereignty. He has a bigger plan than all of it, okay? So we're going to tie it all up in a nice bow next Sunday. Okay, ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'd love to have you here for that. So today, it's a very practical teaching then, on how do you know you're in God's will, okay? Questions to ask yourself, things to walk into. You're going to want to fill in the blanks and take notes today, okay? Because by the end, you're going to have all the tools to be able to answer the question, am I in God's personal will for my life? Am I actually heading towards the right things, okay? Anybody want that? Show of hands, you guys want that? Okay, good. All right, if you didn't, love you. All right, so let's get into Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And in the book of Psalms, so many of them are written by David. You know, we see David as described as a man after God's own heart in the Old Testament. Doesn't mean he was perfect. He still sinned. Actually, he sinned in some major ways, actually, in his life. But we can see that God is a God of redemption as well. And I'm hallelujah for that. Amen? Like, God can take all of our junk and all of our bad things and still say, no, they're after my heart. Okay, so if you're here, you're broken, you've done stupid stuff, welcome to the club. It's been happening since the beginning, and God can redeem whatever he wants in your life, okay?
Amen.
Because we see this psalm in 139, and it is so personal. It is so personal when we're talking about God's will, okay? I want you to read this. As I'm reading this, I want you to think of this as you. You're the one that wrote this to God. It's like a love letter to God You're journaling and you're writing to him, and this is what you want to say, okay? So let's hop into it because it is so good. We're going to start with this point right here. God has a plan for me, and it is good. Okay? I'm going to use some me statements, so you're going to be making these statements, okay? I want you to say them out loud either in your heart, your head, or even out loud. God has a plan for me, and it is good. Let's do it again. You guys are good. You're hopping into it. Let's say it together. God has a plan for me, and it is good. It's good. Okay? Don't believe the lies. It's good. It's good. Let me prove it in Psalm 139. That's what it says. It says, for you, he's talking to God, his creator. For you, God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Who needs to hear that this morning? I know some of you need to hear that this morning. Right? This is such a powerful psalm. And I know it's on quilts, you know, it's on wall hanging, it's all over the place, and sometimes it loses the depth and the richness of the words that are written in this psalm. Like the image of God from the very beginning, from the inception of us as beings, had a design and a desire that from the inmost part of your creation, this beautiful thing he does inside of women and in this procreation thing that he knew and he wove together in the womb, that he foreordained the life that was going to be in this world for you personally. I want you to understand there's two things in this passage, okay? If that is true, if that is who God is, number one is this, that God has a vested interest in me. We're making me statements. If God made me, he created me, he designed me, he desired a relationship with me from the very beginning, if that's really who God is, and I'm telling you, he is, that is who he is. So because that is who God is, he has a very vested interest in you and me. Right? You with me? Like if you created something, you have a vested interest in that creation, you know. Do we have anybody who loves to quilt or do needlework or anything like that? We got some quilters, just a few of you. Okay. See, I have never done any of that, nor will I ever. All right. Maybe I should never say never, but like I know when people do it, you know, when they're making knots and they're doing the stitches and they got the things and they're like trying to make this a sock. You know, it's just a sock. If I made a sock, I don't know what it would look like in the end, but it wouldn't be a sock. It'd be like, hey, it's a thing and. I don't know what it is. Because whenever you're making the knots and you're doing the pattern, if you stop and just ignore and you just start doing some random patterns as you're doing it, you don't know what you're going to end up with, right? You have to stay very focused when you're making that thing that you're making as you're knitting it into being, into creation, right? That's what God did with you. He didn't make a mistake. There wasn't an oops, I slipped that knot, and oops, that one's, we'll see what comes out. I don't know. Like, that's not what he ever does. That's not who he is. And I know sometimes, and this is where we can get really into some theological and deep conversations, because it's like, well, what about kids that have struggles? What about kids that come out deformed? What about, all I know is God has a plan. And so often humans have a plan, and they just kind of disrupt God's plan. But I know God has a plan. And for you, I know that he knew exactly what he was doing when he knit you together. He didn't miss any knots. He didn't stop and look away and just get distracted. Like, he has a vested interest in you. You were created in his image. Do you guys, Like, you go back to Genesis, in the beginning of all things, that God created all this beautiful stuff, and he created light and dark, planet, earth, animals, all this stuff. It wasn't until he got to Adam and Eve that he said, yeah, they're going to be in our image. He's talking about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're going to create these in our image. These are going to be different than the rest of all creation. You are different than all of creation. God has a vested interest in you as a person. He has a vested in us as human beings, but specifically as you as a person. So whether you're shy, whether you're loud, whether you're serious, or whether you're super funny all the time, whether you're really creative and everything's a little out of whack all the time, or whether you're super detailed and everything has to be lined, like, no matter how you are wired, you were wired that way on purpose. You were not an accident, okay? So often the world tries to put us in these little molds and these little boxes, and these, it's like, ugh. God broke the mold when he made you and me. I like the amen. You all should say amen. God broke the mold when he made you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're all individuals, and that's the beautiful thing about his creation in us, that he has a vested interest in us, what he put in us, how he wired us, the things that he put inside of us. God knew what he was doing when he made you, and he has a very vested interest in what your life will be and what you do with it. He's all in, okay? It's our choice if we go all in with him, right? That's a part of that free will. The free will is, I have a will. God has a will, but I have a will too. And my will, I can push against his anytime I want to, because that's free will. That's my choice. We all have choices. Sometimes our free will leads to something that we get lucky with. Sometimes our free will choices lead us down a path, and we hop over the guardrails, and we start getting hurt and bruised. And, right? Like, that's just life. But all I know is that he chose you before you chose him, because he knew you from the very beginning. Okay, God has a vested interest in me. Number two on this one. Because he made me, I can trust God's leadership in my life. Because he has a vested interest in me, that means he must be leading me to something. That I can choose to trust him and trust his leadership, where he's leading me and guiding me and directing me. This is where it gets hard, because sometimes he will lead and direct you towards things that will cause you to grow. You know where growth mostly happens, right? It's in the valleys. Like, that's where growth happens. It's when things don't go the way you want them to go, that then your dependency goes higher with God, right? It's those valleys where you said, I don't have it all together. I thought I had a plan. Where's that plan? And God's like, don't worry, I'm leading you. I have you through this one, and I have you on the other side of it. See, God, if he has a vested interest in what we do and how we live, he can be trusted to lead us. Farther down in Psalm 139, I love these words in verse 23 and 24, because now he's getting really personal with God. He's like, I trust you. You created me. You knit me. You know everything about me, God. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's the path we all want to be on. When we're talking about the path to God's will, it's right there. It's on the path of everlasting life. It's on the path with God. And so if he has a plan for me, has vested interest in me, I can trust his leadership, and I can pray the same kind of prayer. God, search me, test me, lead me, right? Search my heart. Where is Tim's will? And where is it taking Tim? I've made some stupid choices in my life. Super bad ones. Did you ever wish you could go back to, like, yourself when you were 20? And some of you are like, well, I am 20. Well, don't you wish you could go back when you were 14, right? Or however old you were, right? Don't you wish you could go back in time, get in the DeLorean, you know, 88 miles per hour, boom. Don't do this one, Tim, right? Like I wish we could do that, you know? I've made so many stupid mistakes and so many bad decisions, and there's people who can attest to that in this room, and they're not gonna, because they love me. So, but what I know is that, like, I'm trying to walk into God's will, there will be times where I don't. And those are the best times to start saying, okay, God, search me, test me, know my thoughts, look at my heart. Like, what is going on inside of here? Okay, we're gonna get to that in just a second, what that means. But this is a good prayer. If God has a plan for me, he has vested interest in my life. I mean, he wants some things in my life. I can choose to trust his leadership in my life. I can choose to allow him, search me, God. Test my thoughts. Like, because I don't want my thoughts to just be Tim's will and just, I'm going to plow through and do whatever I want. Like, test me, search me, and lead me, God, because I want to be on the path to everlasting life. That's the one I want to be on, because that's the one where you experience his sovereign will, moral will, and his personal will in your life. So I wanted to start with that. You know, God loves you. He made you. So how can we know then we're walking into his personal will, right? That the desire, that very specific design and desire that he puts inside of your life. How can you know that? Okay, I'm going to teach you five things. And if you walk through these five things, I believe they will be a great filter through which to answer that question, okay? This is not perfection, all right? This isn't like, yeah, okay, I'll do this every time, and like Tim told me, I know it, if I get to the end of these five things. Like, these are just tools to use, so don't blame Tim, okay? All right? These are just tools to use as a filter as you're thinking and praying through his personal will for your life, okay? Search me, test me, lead me, and that prayer leads us to the first one, which is whenever you're making a decision, we're talking about decision-making in the will of God. Whenever you're making the decision, maybe it's a big one. Maybe should I take this job? Should I take that job? Should I date this person or not date that person? Or date this person over here? Or should we get married? Should we not? Should we, you know, should I go here? Should I move there? You know, all these kind of major life decisions you go through, these are great filters. So that's what we're talking about. The first one is check your motives, right? Check your motive. This is the search my heart, God. Search my mind. What am I thinking about? Like, help me, God, to know my motives. Search me, O God, and know my heart. What is behind the decision that you're trying to make right now is the question. What's really behind that decision? I'm a coach, like a personal coach and like a church planning coach and a pastor's coach. Like, so I've been trained a lot in like helping people and asking good questions and all that kind of stuff. This one, the check your motives one, is a great one to start asking yourself the question, why? Okay? Sometimes if somebody's really struggling with something, they're like, I just don't know. Okay, tell me the story and say, well, what do you want from it? And then they give you an answer. And then you say, well, why? And then they give you an answer. And you say, well, why? And then they have to think a little bit harder. And then they give you another answer and say, okay, well, why that? By this time, they're ticked, right? They're like, come on, stop asking me why. Until we get to the seventh why, and they actually realize the real reason, right? What is the motive behind me trying to make this decision, right? Like, let's play this out, because you can have all sorts of motives. You can have good motives and bad motives when you're trying to make a decision. Like, good ones could be selfless, like, I'm trying to help somebody, or I'm trying to serve in a kids' ministry at New Hope. That's always a good decision, I'm just saying, right? They didn't even respond to that one. I'm trying. You know there's no spiritual gift of changing diapers. You know that, right? It just needs done, and some people need to serve, right? So so selfish ones, right? So our motives could be selfish. Like, I'm trying to get something out of this, you know? Our motives could be sinful. I mean, we could just be just like, I'm doing this because I want to, and I really don't care. I'm just going to do this thing. Or they could be driven by fear. I think sometimes that's a big one for decision making is, I'm not going to do this or do this. Why? I can't do it. I'm afraid. Right? Or maybe it's driven by love. Great motive. I want to show love to this person, or I want to love this way, or right. So there's motives can be all over the map. So let's use just a really quick illustration, and it's just gonna be real quick. So imagine you're trying to take a job. Maybe you're like, okay, I have a job, there's a new one coming up, and I think it would be a better job for me. So you're thinking about, okay, why do I want this job? Why do I want this job? Well, it pays more. Okay. Why does it matter that it pays more? Because I feel more valued. Okay. Why do you feel like you need to be more valued? Well, because I guess I feel undervalued. Okay, well, why do you feel undervalued? I just feel like people talk bad about me, and I feel like my spouse just keeps on ragging on me. Okay, why do they keep ragging on you? Do you see where we're going with this? And by now, they're like, oh, crap, I have a marriage problem. They're like, okay, now let's talk. And the whole reason they want to get a job to get a higher pay is because they feel like their spouse doesn't love them enough and they're undervalued. Do you hear the motives? When you start asking the question, why, and you start digging into a decision, and you allow yourself to keep digging into that, why? Well, why do I want that? Or why is this? That's where you're saying, God, search my heart, know my thoughts, because we don't do that so well on our own, do we? We can cover up all sorts of crap in our own thoughts. And we can justify all sorts of decisions all the time. I mean, we do it every day. We set up patterns in our head of how we make decisions, actually. Like, there's a whole psychology behind this. I'm reading a book right now that's kind of blowing my mind. It talks about how we set up mind pictures about things we've done in the past, and that sets up to actually pre-decide whatever comes up in the future. Because we're just going on the same path we've already created for ourselves, so without even thinking about it, we'll just do that thing, right? So we can be setting up bad habits or bad thought processes, and so that good decision comes, and we're just going to respond the same way we had before, which may not be the right thing. Our motives may be off. So we need to say, God, search my heart, know my thoughts, and lead me, right? Lead me. Check your motives, number one. All right. We good with that one?
Yes.
Okay. Check your motives. Ask yourself why 7 times. By the end, I'm going to answer the question, like, if you need help with this, okay? Because we all need help on this journey. So check your motives. Number two. Is it, this thing I want to do, is it good, acceptable, and perfect? This goes back to our Romans 12:2 sermon, right? Romans 12:2 says, you know, God wants you to know his perfect plan, right? It is good, his will is good, acceptable, and it's perfect. So when you think about that decision you're making, this is a great question to ask. Like, is that thing I'm wanting to do, A, is it good? Is it a good thing? Will actually bring good to me, good to others, good to God. Like, is there goodness in this thing that I'm trying to decide to do? If it's going to bring some bad things, or it's going to lead to some bad roads, there you go. You have your answer, right? Not going to do that one. It's bad. It's going to bring bad. Is it good? Is it acceptable? I love the word image. I heard this summer a pastor preach a message on this stuff, on God's will, and he was talking about this whole idea of acceptable, and I think I've said it already in the sermons, but like the whole idea of is it acceptable? Imagine if you went to have coffee with God, and you're like struggling with a decision, and you sit down with God, and he's sitting down, you guys just sipping some cappuccinos or something, or you're just hanging out, and you start telling him, hey God, you know, I'm thinking about doing this thing. Like, would he look across from the table at you and say, oh yeah, that's good? That's that whole idea of acceptable. Like, would God accept that thing in your life? Would it be acceptable to him for you to walk into it, right? Because sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's, no, that's leading you off the path. That's leading you towards sin, actually, if you go down that one. And that's leading you to temptation, or that's leading you to, like, a wreck in your relationship, or that's, like, that wouldn't be acceptable. God would be like, no, that's not acceptable to me, right? And that also goes in line with what we talk about as moral will. If you're like, God, you know, I know I'm married, but this girl's really cute over here. Should I start dating her? You're like, no. That's not acceptable, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? So I know that's a very blunt and easy one, because it's like, but for some of you, that's not a blunt and easy one. For some people, I know it's not, because I know your stories. You easily get dragged into temptation. Like, that's how we're wired in this world. And I've seen good people make bad decisions, because they were slowly dragged into a position where they were no longer living into something good and acceptable. And then they say, well, how did I get here? You should have asked these questions way back there on the path, right before you got there. So it's better to ask these questions sooner. Like, is it good? Is it acceptable? God be like, yes. Is it perfect? I mean, does it fit into God's perfect plan for you? Does it look perfect? Would it create the perfect thing in your life? Okay? So number one, right, check your motives. Number two, ask yourself, is this thing, if I make this decision, is it good, acceptable, and perfect? Would God sit across from me and say, yeah, this sounds like something really good, okay? That's number two. Okay, number three. I told you these, really, we're just going through them, really practical. Does it align with God's word? If you've gotten through the motive part, you've gotten through the good, acceptable, perfect, and you've gotten to this one, does it align with God's word? This is where you're asking the question, Will this decision lead me outside of his moral will for my life, right? Will this one start me on a path of temptation one way or another? I know people who, thinking about the job conversation, right? People who think, well, okay, I'm on this path, and here's a job over here, job over here, job over there, and they're like, oh, but this one pays more than that one and that one. And so they immediately just go to that one, okay? And they're asking the question, does it align with God's word? You go to the motives, like, what's my motive in this? And, like, you could take any job. Sometimes God's will is whatever. That kind of sucks, doesn't it? Like, sometimes you go back to that verse that says, whatever you do, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And I think in that whatever, it means there's times where it will be whatever. He's like, well, that one, do what you want. All of it's good. All of it's acceptable. All of it's, like, just pick a path and go. You know, that's okay. So you don't have to live in this, like, am I out of God's will? Am I in God's will? Am I out of it? Am I in it? Like, your brain's going to blow up. And you're going to live with anxiety. Like, sometimes it is whatever. Eat that cereal, whatever. You know, like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So don't get super anal when we're talking about this. We're talking about, like, his bigger dream for your life. When he's talking about, like, what gifts do you have? What wiring? What personality? What skills? How can you be a part of bringing heaven to earth, right? That's what we're talking about. So does it align with God's word? Okay, this is his moral will. Does Scripture speak about this thing you're trying to make a decision on? If it's a relationship, okay, does Scripture talk about that type of a relationship you're pursuing? And if so, you should read and study all the Scriptures that have to do with that. If it's a job, okay, is there anything in any of these jobs that would make me walk outside of God's word in my life? And if one does, well, that's an easy answer, right? I know that one's going to lead me to be more greedy. And I know God doesn't want me to be a greedy person, so that one's off the table. That's after checking your motives. Y'all with me? There's a passage in James chapter 1, because there's a very big difference between knowing God's word and doing it. There's a lot of people, especially in the United States, who are educated beyond their obedience. They know all that what they should do, but they never do it. Okay? They know a lot about the Bible, but they sit, judge, and point fingers and hate people. I'm like, you're not reading it close enough, right? Like, there's a big difference in that. In James chapter 1, it says this. In verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. That's what I'm saying. We're so good at that. We're good at listening and looking at somebody else. Like, did you hear? They needed to hear that one. Or when you study the scripture on your own, you're only thinking about how that applies to your kids or your spouse or to your boss or to your, like, don't deceive yourself, right? Listen to the word, and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But, listen, this is a promise, okay? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Do you hear that? That his boundaries, his guardrails, his moral will isn't there to confine and make your life miserable. Some people believe that, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. His protection, his law, his word is there to give you freedom from the pain on the other side. That law intently, look, the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it. If they continue in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be what? Blessed. They will be blessed. So when we're talking about this one, does it align with God's word? You need to learn how to do your own homework. That's why we tell you every week, get in your own Bible. If you're wanting the answers to come from somebody smarter than you, or somebody's like, well, the pastor knows that, so I'm going to ask the pastor to tell me what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Unless it's really stupid. I'm like, don't do that, right? Like, but I'm going to ask you questions to help you think and help shepherd your heart. But you need to get into God's word on your own. You need to research that decision. And where in each of those elements, where is that in God's word? There's this great thing out there, and you need to be careful with it, but it's called Google. Okay? You can Google theological stuff. You can type in scriptures about relationships. And boom, on Bible.com or Bible whatever, it'll just list the verses. No commentary. It'll just show you the verses. And you just start reading those verses, and you're going to start to find some answers, okay? We all have access to everything we ever wanted. You have access to the things that theologians 100 years ago dreamed of, right? So we have no excuse to study, to search, to get into God's word, okay? And then do it, and then do it, live into it, okay? Check your motives. Is it good, acceptable, and perfect? That's checking the gap, right? Does it align with God's word? So if it does, if there's nothing wrong with it, keep going on the path, right? Keep going on the path. Okay, two more. This one is probably the trickiest one for a lot of people, because this one you learn the more you have a relationship with God. What is the Holy Spirit saying in this matter? Because sometimes it may be in alignment with God's word. It may be good, acceptable, perfect. It may, your motives might be right. Now you ask yourself the question, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? We all, as Christ followers, have the Holy Spirit. God himself, like we're connected to heaven through the Holy Spirit. The passages that talk about when we pray and we don't even have words to say, the Holy Spirit just moans and groans on our behalf and speaks in language we don't understand so that it can be spoken into heaven. And then gives us understanding of what's happening in heaven so that we can understand how to walk into it. Like the Holy Spirit, oh my gosh, so good. That we have access to that. So often we don't access it. We listen to Tim's spirit, right? Or you listen to your spirit, right? Like our lowercase s spirit. This is the whole, this is a phrase that everybody uses in the world, okay? Just follow your heart. That's a bunch of baloney. It is. Your heart is deceitful above all else, the scriptures tell us. Our hearts will lead us to things that are really dangerous for us, right? I'm not saying our hearts are like are bad, bad, bad. Okay, so like, so just don't like beat on yourself. My heart's bad. My heart. Maybe some of you need to go see a doctor, but that's a different heart. But like, I'm talking about the kind of the depths of who you are, right? This is so much deeper than just following your heart. Okay, when we're talking about following the Holy Spirit will give you discernment. Discernment and wisdom, that prayer that we prayed at the very beginning and we ended last week with, God, give me knowledge, right? Give me understanding, give me your wisdom. That's what the Holy Spirit can impart to us. It's things that we don't know on our own power. We don't understand in our own mind, but he leads and gives us great discernment over. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. Not following our heart, just be like, well, my heart's going over here today, and it's going over there today. Some of you never even listen to your heart. I don't even have a heart, right? Maybe you're like the Tin Man, right? So I don't know if you've met those kind of people. It's like, you're kind of ruthless. You know, you kind of don't even have a heart, so don't follow that thing, because we're going to get you some oil or something. Right? Like, our hearts can go either way. The Holy Spirit will lead us in God's way. The Holy Spirit will direct us what's happening in heaven and keep us in alignment with that. And so when we're in our prayer life, we're talking to God, help me understand, give me discernment. When we're talking, he's like, okay, listen, take time to be quiet, to be still, to remove the noise from your life so you can hear the still voice of God, right? Listen to the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says this. It says, but when he, this is Jesus talking, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He guides us. He will not speak on his own. This is the good thing right here. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Meaning the Holy Spirit only speaks to us what is received from heaven. And so if we're walking in alignment with the Spirit, we're walking in alignment with God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? We need to learn how to discern that still voice, the voice of God. Because sometimes when we're making this decision or that decision, and both are they're good, now it's okay, Holy Spirit, show me which one is best. And whether it's a nudge, whether it's a sign, sometimes God does give signs, okay? Sometimes it's like, boy, that was like written on the wall. Like God couldn't have made that one even more clear. That's the one, right? He is capable, and he wants to do that in our lives to lead us. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you as you walk on that journey? It all is wrapped around a relationship, though. If you don't have a relationship, you're not going to hear him. You have to daily be in that relationship to hear him. It's just like a normal relationship. Like if I saw you once a year, I wouldn't know what's going on all in your life. And like, so if I saw you once a year and say, well, here's what you need to do. Like, you don't know me. Right? And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. If you like visit him once a year, like, okay, God, tell me what you want. I haven't talked to you all year long. I haven't, but this one, like, you need to tell me. He's like, I've been telling you actually like the last 6 months, but you've kind of been busy. So stop being busy and join me, because I want to be with you every day. Right? That's God's desire for you. Okay. Are we doing good? All right, I'm even doing good on time. This is impressive. All right, here we go. So, check your motives. Is it good, acceptable, perfect? Does it align with God's word? And what does the Holy Spirit say? What's he saying to you? And the last one is this, okay? And this is the last one. Ask your BGPs in your life. Ask the BGPs in your life. What's a BGP? Big, godly people. I'm not talking physically, all right? I'm just saying, like, people who you know are way farther down the road than you spiritually, right? People that you know, they do have a daily walk with God, that they are walking with him, and you can trust them because you know that they are trusting God. They're living a little bit beyond where you are, spiritually speaking, right? You need to have some of those people in your life. That's why we say here at New Hope, you're wired for a relationship. This Christian walk is never designed for you to do all by yourself in a corner. Never. Like when we see the New Testament, he built a church, the body of Christ, and each part of that body has a purpose in the body. And we all need everybody in the body. When we're detached from the body, like if my arm got cut off and got thrown in a field, at that point my arm is dead meat, literally. Like, and that's what happens to people spiritually. They become dead meat spiritually because they're not connected with other big godly people. They're not connected to people who are walking with the Spirit. You need the people in your life that you can go to and say, okay, I've already done the first five and now I'm coming to you. I'm trying to figure out this decision in my life. And you need to have one, two, maybe even three different people and say, what are your thoughts on this? If they're smart, they will ask you really good questions. If they're loving, they're not going to tell you what to do. They're going to help you find out what God wants to do, right? They want to lead you on that path to seeing God, to hearing the Holy Spirit, to making sure it's in alignment with God's word. That's what big godly people do. They don't have their own motives in that conversation. So if you have a Christian person that has their own motive in the conversation, and then what you shared with them becomes a prayer request to somebody else, that's not a big godly person. That's a gossip. I wouldn't have that conversation with that person. It's okay to love somebody, but it's also okay to be smart with somebody. Okay? And don't let the hurt from somebody else keep you from going to the right person, because there is right people that want to love you. They will accept you just as you are, and they will pray right alongside with you, and they'll ask you good questions, okay? So if you don't have some big godly people here at New Hope, we want to help you find some big godly people, some people who can help you in that process. That's why we have small groups here at New Hope, because a lot of people in small groups, you'll find that person or those people or that small group leader that'll be like, tell us what's going on. We want to pray with you. You're not alone in this. We want to walk with you in this, right? Or whether some of you are in Equip. Like the Equip journey is a deep one, right? Like you will get to know some of these kind of people, and God will actually do some pretty deep stuff if you go through this 12-month cohort experience we have called Equip, where you're going to get emotionally, spiritually, and relationally healthy. Like if you need these type of people, I would encourage you, make a phone call, set up an appointment, say, hey, can we go get coffee or can we talk? And just say, I want to get together with you because I'm wrestling with a decision I have to make. And I'm wondering if you could just give me some insight and then just share. Like, tell them why you're getting together so that they can be prayed up and ready, okay? And then listen. Listen to what they say. Take notes. Actually, write down notes, because we will forget what they said. And if they tell you to do something when you leave, go do that thing, okay? And then see. Now, if you have two or three people you go do that with and all three of them are saying the exact same things and it's already in alignment, it's like, okay, this has now become a no-brainer because I've trusted what God's doing, that he's led me down this path to this decision, okay? Is this helpful? Yes. Yeah? Is this helpful to some of you? Has this answered some questions for you when you're thinking about God's will for your life? Yes? I just want to be sure it's practical. All right. Okay. Now, I need you to know this, and I'm going to end here, and we'll start next Sunday on this, okay? The closer you are getting into something that is God's specific will for your life, the more opposition you will experience in the process. When you're heading towards the front line of a battle, the enemy's coming the same direction towards you, okay? And so don't expect, I'm more and more in God's will. That means it's going to get prettier and prettier, and the flowers are going to get more smelly and beautiful, and the trees are going to bloom, the birds are going to come chirp. It's going to be some Disney experience, right? Like that might happen sometimes. There's been times that has happened in my life where I'm like, wow, this one is okay, wow. But most of the times God wants a breakthrough, it feels like a breakthrough. And that's when the enemy fights harder, because he knows you're walking deeper. So I don't want you to be unaware. The more you walk towards this, the more things that might be coming that you're like, where did that come from? And the more you understand that the enemy has a will, the more you can debunk his plan in your life. Amen. And accept it for what it is. Pff, that's just Satan trying to be a jerk. You jerk, right? And then you keep talking to God, some big godly people. You keep praying and searching, and let God be the one that leads you through whatever that next season, whatever the next thing, whatever that might be, okay? I'm going to end with that. Prepping you next Sunday, I'm going deep into that, okay? And it happened to Jesus. Jesus was perfect. He experienced everything that we experience, and he didn't sin in it. So next week, we're looking at the model that Jesus gave us on how to walk into this. And when it gets really tough and we're working in God's will, how we can respond and have victory in it, okay? Anybody want some victory? Amen? Amen. Amen. So today I'm leaving you with that, okay? Good practical stuff. Check your motives. Is it good, acceptable, perfect? Does it align with God's word? What is the Holy Spirit saying? And you need to get some big godly people in your life to help walk on that journey together. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. I'm so glad that we don't have to wonder what you said. You've already said it. That you haven't hidden anything from us. You've revealed it very clearly to us. And I'm so grateful, God, man, when I read Psalm 139, just that heart and that prayer, you know me so well. And yet you choose to love me so well. I know that there are those in this room that are like, I don't know if I can accept that love because I don't think I'm worthy of it. But God, thank you for giving it no matter what. Thank you for proving it by sending your son to die on the cross for our sins and to pay for that sin and that brokenness, that ugly stuff in our hearts and lives. That we can be forgiven in your presence when we accept Christ. And we can walk into freedom. We can walk into your will. And we can walk into victory. And we can truly receive and accept your forgiveness of all of our sins. Oh, you love us so much. I pray today, God, as we leave here in just a little bit, that we would allow our hearts to be open to you. That decisions that we, some of us in this room have to make or are in the middle of making, that we will do the right things as we walk down that path. That we are going to trust your leadership in our life. Thank you so much for this morning. Holy Spirit, continue to work. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Everybody say amen. 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 Awesome. Nikki's